From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Republican Senator Trent Lott announced today that he's stepping down from the top leadership post. And now comes word that the special election to choose a new Senate majority leader has been moved up to Monday. From member station WDUQ, Catherine Fink reports.
The election to replace Senator Trent Lott will take place Monday. Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, the chairman of the Senate Republican Conference, had scheduled the election for January 6th. That's the same day Lott says he will step down as majority leader. Santorum says moving up the election will help Republicans better prepare for the next session, which begins January 7th. Tennessee Senator Bill Frist is the only one so far to indicate his interest in being the next majority leader. Santorum, as the third-ranking Republican in the Senate, has also been mentioned as a possible successor to Lott, but he says he will step aside and back Frist instead. Another potential candidate, Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, also has backed Frist. For NPR News, I'm Catherine Fink in Pittsburgh.
President Bush has okayed a major buildup of U.S. troop strength in the Persian Gulf region. An administration official says that next month, current troop strength of 50,000 will be doubled. But the administration has said no decision on going to war with Iraq will be made soon. The president said today that Iraq's weapons declaration to the U.N. shows that Saddam Hussein is not serious about disarmament. Mr. Bush said it is a disappointing day for those who long for peace. 10 of the nation's biggest investment banks have agreed to pay more than $1.4 billion to settle allegations of conflict of interest by stock analysts. They also will reform the way their research divisions operate. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports.
The firms will pay fines ranging from $325 million for Citigroup to $50 million each for Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, J.P. Morgan, and Deutsche Bank. They will also have to pay $450 million to fund independent research that must be made available to stock investors. The firms agreed to the settlement after weeks of negotiations with the Securities and Exchange Commission and state regulators. Critics had charged that stock analysts too often soft-pedaled negative information about companies to help their firms get investment banking business. Regulators say the settlement will strengthen the wall of separation between analysts and investment bankers. The settlement will also bar firms from giving hot IPO shares to executives of companies they do business with. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.
Cleanup crews in Newton, Mississippi today started clearing away building debris, wrecked cars, and other remnants of the tornado that plowed through the small town yesterday. The tornado injured more than 50 people. On Wall Street today, the Dow Industrials closed up 147 points at 8512 in heavy volume. The Nasdaq was up 9 at 1363. The S&P 500 up 6. This is NPR News. The American Red Cross may have released tainted blood to hospitals, according to the Food and Drug Administration. The government reports more than 200 violations of federal blood safety rules as it pushes the Red Cross to improve the quality of its blood donation and distribution system. A former member of the radical Symbionese Liberation Army has pleaded innocent to a federal explosives charge reaching back to events of the 1970s. James Kilgore entered his plea in San Francisco. NPR's John McChesney reports.
Kilgore was the final member of the bizarre 1970s group to be apprehended and arraigned. The SLA, as it was known, gained notoriety when it kidnapped newspaper heiress Patricia Hearst. Kilgore was arrested last month in South Africa and flown to California on Thursday. In San Francisco, he faced charges of possessing a pipe bomb and obtaining a passport under a false name. He also faces a murder charge in Sacramento for a 1975 bank robbery in which a customer was killed. Four other SLA members recently reached a plea agreement in that case. Kilgore will receive the same plea bargain for the murder. Kilgore was known as a respected professor in South Africa, where he went by the name of Charles Pape. John McChesney, NPR News, San Francisco.
With unemployment benefits running out a few days after Christmas for hundreds of thousands of people, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi wants the GOP to call the House back into session. Pelosi says the benefits should be extended immediately. In the final days of the last congressional session, the House and Senate passed different plans to extend unemployment, and the two chambers never resolved the differences. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News in Washington.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Lynn Neary. Senate Republican leader Trent Lott today sought to bring a two-week ordeal for himself and his party to an end. In a surprise announcement, Lott said he is stepping down from the leadership post he's held for the past 6 years. Tennessee Republican Bill Frist appears certain to be the Senate's new majority leader when Congress returns next month. NPR's David Wellna reports.
Lott gave up the struggle to hang on to his job by releasing a terse statement late this morning. It was a move whose timing caught even the White House by surprise. Without making any reference to the politically explosive, racially tinged remark he made 2 weeks ago, Lott said he would not seek to be majority leader in the upcoming 108th Congress. He said he would remain, though, in the Senate. Virginia Republican George Allen, who earlier this week called Lott and urged him to step down for the good of his party, said today the Republicans can now move forward.
This is a day that the United States Senate, with Trent Lott's resignation, has buried graveyard dead and gone the days of discrimination and segregation. Those days are gone and gone forever.
Not one of his colleagues today said Lott should have stayed on as leader. But at the White House, spokesman Ari Fleischer continued to insist that President Bush, who publicly rebuked Lott a week ago but did not call for him to step down, had not changed his stance.
The president did not think that Trent Lott needed to resign. Trent Lott has come to this conclusion, and the president respects it. The president is going to continue to work with Trent Lott.
The White House has taken pains to appear uninvolved in the GOP Senate leadership crisis, but Bill Frist, whose challenge to Lott's leadership appears to have hastened Lott's exit, worked closely with White House political advisor Karl Rove as chair of the drive to restore Republican control in the Senate. Though some independent-minded senators consider such close White House ties as a drawback for Frist, New Mexico Republican Pete Domenici does not.
You know, this kind of concern that the president is his friend, I would think that the better for the country if somebody gets to be leader here and is a good friend of the president that's in office. What's wrong with that?
Many senators today publicly pledged their support for Frist, and no others stepped forward to challenge his bid to be majority leader. Frist, who greeted reporters briefly today with Virginia Senator John Warner, had little to say.
I'm not going to be doing any press conference or anything formal. We're working out everything within the caucus.
Sure.
John Warner and I have been talking today, and I'll continue to be talking to my colleagues on the phone nonstop pretty much as we work out and come to some resolution where we're going.
GOP senators are to meet January 6th, if not sooner, to choose a new leader. Senate Democratic leader Tom Daschle today said Lott was right to resign, but he warned that Lott's successor must go beyond merely disavowing Lott's words and instead embrace policies that promote genuine healing and opportunity for all Americans. David Wellna, NPR News, The Capitol.
The man now apparently poised to lead the Senate is also the Senate's only physician, in fact, its first physician in half a century, and he is part of a family long associated with running hospitals. That's significant because the new Congress is expected to have high-profile medical issues near the top of its priority list. NPR's Julie Rovner reports.
A former heart-lung transplant surgeon and a marathon runner, Frist is known for his punishing schedule, says Chip Kahn, a former congressional staffer who now heads the Federation of American Hospitals.
He probably has more energy than almost any other member. I'm not sure the man sleeps. He just works all the time.
And while Frist doesn't transplant hearts anymore, he still keeps his doctor's bag in his office and uses it. He tended to the police officers shot in the Capitol in 1998 and saved the life of the man who shot them, as well as a tourist having a heart attack. Last fall, Frist took the lead after an anthrax-laden letter was opened in Senator Tom Daschle's office. His website became the clearinghouse for anthrax-related information, says Mary Greeley of the Healthcare Leadership Council.
His ability to educate people, to assure them, to calm people. He really was not just a leader on the issue, but an extremely calming influence.
Not surprisingly, Frist has devoted much of his legislative work towards health care. He's been involved in virtually every major health care issue Congress has considered over the past 8 years, says Rich Tarplin, chairman of the board of the lobbying firm Timmons & Company.
The Medicare prescription drug benefit, the Patient's Bill of Rights, expanding treatment of AIDS in Africa, the allocation of organ transplantation in our country, FDA regulation of tobacco, biomedical research, protection of human subjects and research. The list goes on and on.
Frist's expertise on health issues, particularly Medicare prescription drugs, is certainly a point in his favor for the Bush administration, which expects health to be a top domestic issue this year. At the same time, Frist hasn't been shy about reaching across the aisle. He and Democratic Senate Health Committee Chairman Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts have collaborated on a long list of public health bills, most recently a multi-billion dollar authorization to better prepare the nation for a potential bioterrorist attack. Chip Kahn of the Hospital Federation says Frist's MD gives him a unique deal-making ability on health issues.
He's a member who other members on both sides of the aisle look to because he's a doctor. He understands health care from the inside, not just as an observer or a policymaker.
But Frist has his partisan side as well. He's so far remained firmly with Republicans on the patient's rights issue, is a reliable vote for anti-abortion forces, and his Medicare proposals are the ones President Bush built his plan around. Health lobbyist Tarplin, who was a senior health official in the Clinton administration, warns that Frist's elevation could give contentious health issues a boost next year, but not necessarily push any of them over the finish line.
Let's not make the mistake of assuming there's going to be consensus between the two parties on all these health issues just because Bill Frist has taken a new job. That's not going to happen.
For all his successes, Frist has had his share of controversy. His father and brother founded the for-profit hospital firm HCA, which just this week agreed to pay the federal government $631 million to settle charges it overbilled the Medicare program. And Frist himself authored the now notorious provision of the Homeland Security Bill that gives the drug firm Eli Lilly protections against lawsuits involving a vaccine preservative it used to manufacture. Both issues are likely among those he'll face if he becomes majority leader. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
Joining us now is Republican Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania. Senator Specter, first of all, just tell us your reaction to Senator Lott's decision today to step down as majority leader.
This entire episode, I think, should be a wake-up call far beyond Senator Lott to the Republican Senate caucus and to the Republican Party that we ought to be doing a great deal more on civil rights. What was really involved here was much more than Senator Lott's statement. It's the Thurman Birthday Party. It really peeled back more than 200 years of mistreatment of African Americans with slavery, with segregation, and now with racism. And instead of just talking about being the party of Abraham Lincoln, we ought to act like it.
Senator Bill Frist is expected to become the new majority leader. First of all, do you expect that is what's going to happen?
Well, there seems to be growing sentiment in favor of Senator Frist. I have an open mind on it.
Do you think that there's anyone else who could make a viable challenge?
Well, there could be others, but Senator Lott's announcement is just a few hours old. Body's not cold, so it's kind of hard to be sure about what comes next.
What would Senator Frist or any other majority leader need to do in terms of advancing the agenda that you've already laid out with regard to repairing some of the damage that has been done, particularly with regards to attracting blacks and minorities to the Republican Party?
The new Senate majority leader can bring up the hate crimes legislation and act to get it passed. I think the new Senate majority leader could take a stand in favor of racial diversity on the case pending in the Supreme Court. We could have a sense of the Senate resolution encouraging the administration to support racial diversity. The new majority leader could emphasize education programs which are targeted to minorities. The new majority leader could be a strong voice for promoting minority interests.
You said this should be a wake-up call for the Republican Party. Do you think that most Republicans in the Senate are hearing that call, have heard it?
When you ask if most Republicans have heard the wake-up call, it was a nuclear explosion. Nobody missed the call. Question is, what happens next? And there's already been speculation that there could be an adverse impact on President Bush's re-election in 2004. I think it was heard. Question is whether we'll forget about it and go back to business as usual or do something about it. And as I say, I intend to press to do something about it.
What role do you see for Senator Lott in the Senate in the future? And do you think that he can play a role in this?
I think Senator Lott can play a role in it. Lyndon Johnson, in 20 years in the House and Senate, voted against every civil rights bill. And yet he became the promoter, advocate of the greatest civil rights legislation passed, the bill in 1964. I think Senator Lott can be a very active force in promoting civil liberties. And Trent Lott's a relatively young man. He's on some important committees. I'm glad to see him say he's coming back. I had no doubt that he would come back because we have a bare majority in the Senate, and I've seen him work very, very hard to elect Republican senators, and I think he would not leave on that count. He said he had a 6-year contract with Mississippi, and he has a lot of potential for the future. Might even make a comeback for majority leader. Don't count him out.
Do you support Senator Frist as the new majority leader?
I'm not prepared to rush to judgment.
All right. Thank you very much, Senator.
Okay. You're welcome.
Republican Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania.